The last Sunday study, although it was specifically addressed to wives, if you remember, it was addressed to wives who are believers, right? That was the phrase that we used, believing wives. But the principles behind what we studied is more than just for believing wives, right? It was not just for, you know, specifically just for believing wives. We were all reminded of the importance of a consistent godly life, especially when we consider those who are not yet in Christ. I believe that is the intent of the Apostle Paul, where, you know, that was what he pointed out. That's the intent of doing so, was that so that the unbelieving husbands, or if, you know, we would apply it generally speaking, so that those who are not yet in Christ would be won over. I believe that's the phrase that Peter used in verse 1. Be submissive to your own husband, wives, oh, yeah. Be submissive to your own husbands, so that even if any of them are disobedient to the word, they may be won without a word. They would be won over, or that they would be drawn to the saving knowledge of Christ through the consistent godly life displayed by the wife. And that even without a word, I believe that's the implied statement there, even without a word, which basically points to the godly life of a believer, even if the believing wife will not say anything, right, her life shows, or that her life proclaims the gospel that she professes to believe in. And so even if that was addressed to the believing wives whose husbands perhaps are not yet saved, yet the underlying principle of the grave importance and the significance of a godly life that is consistent to what she professes is an indisputable proof of a life that is in Christ. And again, although Peter's emphasis was on the believing wives, the truth conveyed can also be applied to every genuine child of God. Whether you are, you know, single or married, man or woman, young or old, every genuine child of God ought to live consistently with what he or she professes, so that those who are not yet in Christ will be drawn to the saving knowledge of Christ through the consistent lives of believers. Now, our text for this morning's study found in verse 7, and I believe it's only verse 7, is still in the same context as the previous verses that we studied. And this time, Peter's instruction was directed towards the husbands, right? And so perhaps you may think, oh, the wife could, we could just relax now because, you know, it's the husband's turn, right? It's verse 7. You husbands, in the same way, live with your wives in an understanding way, as with someone weaker, since she is a woman, and show her honor as a fellow heir of the grace of life, so that your prayers will not be hindered. Now, it may seem to appear that the Apostle Peter's statement here, addressing the wife first, then the husband, it would seem to appear that it's a little bit biased. Or is it? I mean, just look at the number of verses attributed for the instruction towards the wife. Those are just, you know, those are 6 verses there. And compare it with the instruction given to the husband, you know, several verses against one. But I hope you're not looking at it that way, right? It's not the number of verses. I hope that none of us would say, you know, okay, you know, it's your turn now. Our turn was last Sunday, so it's your turn now. I believe that even though this is addressed specifically to husbands, you know, I for one, we are just 3 here, Brother Anthony, Kuya Ray, and myself. But I believe that there is still an underlying principle, a truth that can still be applied to all of us. And that's the amazing part of God's Word. Right? That's the amazing part of God's Word. So, our text here reveals a very important instruction with regards to how a believing husband ought to live in relation to his wife. Of course, basically that's what verse 7 is saying. Now, if we notice, the opening statement addressed to the husband here in verse 7 is the same opening statement addressed to the wife in verse 1, right? It says, in the same manner, or in the same way, right? That's the opening statement also of verse 1. In the same way, you wives. And then verse 7, in the same way, you husbands. Which would again point us back to those verses. But actually, if we remember, it was not actually just pointing to, you know, verse 1 of chapter 3, but it is pointing actually generally in the previous chapter, which is chapter 2, verse 17, where Peter mentioned a general principle for living that applies to everyone. Right? What does it say in verse 17? Honor all people, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. And I believe it basically points everything to that part there. But what is the specific instruction given here, particularly to the husbands? Of course, the interpretation here is just one, right? It basically points to the husband. But we must understand that although the interpretation is just one, the application can vary, right? And that's the thing that we need to understand. There's only one interpretation of the scripture, but the application is not just one, right? It can be applied, of course, within the context of the passage. Now, what is the specific instruction? It says, husbands should live with their wives. But it does not stop there, right? Because if it did, we would have bigger concerns. If it just say, you know, husbands should live with their wives, period. No, it doesn't say that way, right? Now we understand that, you know, marital relationships in our present time have become too complicated. Now, what do we mean? We know that it is just part of the effect of sin in the heart of man. We must also bear in mind that these complications in marital relationship is not only true in our time, because even in the Bible times, it is already existing, right? It is already present. Complications in marital relationships were already present even in the Bible times. Did we remember during Moses' time where God put it into writing the issues concerning divorce in Deuteronomy chapter 14? And even prior to that, there has been several occasions or records of issues regarding marital relationships. Now, I believe that the way God puts it in Deuteronomy chapter 14 was never to encourage men of doing it, or commend man for doing it, or condone man's action with regards to Deuteronomy chapter 14. Now, God knows that marriage involves two sinful human beings, right? It's not a union between a perfect woman and a perfect man, or a perfect man and an imperfect woman. No, it's not. It's a union that involves two sinful human beings. Now, we're not going to discuss, you know, a divorce in an extensive manner this morning, but Peter's instruction here answers the question, how does a husband live with his wife? Now, it's very challenging when you are talking to yourself, you know, when you're addressing, including yourself in the picture, Because it's easier to address when you are not included in the picture, right? It's easy. But when you are included in the picture, that becomes more challenging. And so how? That's the question there. And so we are to answer the question, how should a husband live with his wife? There are a couple of very practical truths here that we'll find in our text. Now, before we proceed, let us be reminded that the one addressed here implies a believing husband, right? It implies a believing husband. In the same way that in verses 1 to 6, it implies a believing wife, right? So that's the context there. Verse 1 to 6 is referring to a wife who is a believer. And then in verse 7, it's also addressing to a husband who is a believer. But the thing is, it does not explicitly say that the wife is also a believer. Because in verses 1 to 6, it's different, right? When verse 1 to 6 in the previous study last Sunday, when it was addressing a wife who is a believer, it is very clear that the purpose is so that the life of a believing wife would be able to be a sort of a witness to a non-believing husband, right? That's the point there of verses 1 to 6. But here in verse 7, it does not explicitly say that the wife is also a believer. Now, although, of course, in the end part of the verse, we might have a presumption or implied perspective of a believing wife as well. But, you know, we'll talk more about it when we arrive to that part later. Now, and so the standing question is, how does a believing husband live with his wife, whether she's a believer or not? I think it's a safe way of putting it. How does a believing husband live with his wife, whether she's a believer or not? And so it says there in the verse, you husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way. Now, this is a very interesting term that Peter used. Now, what do we mean by in an understanding way or in an understanding manner? Does it mean to say that I have to understand? Because we would hear of comments or statements sometimes that goes like this: you know what, I don't really understand my wife, right? Or I don't understand why she does what she does. You know, could be her time of the month, or there are moments when I don't understand her. You know, does that sound familiar? Now, is this exactly what the verse is trying to say? To understand her, even if you have no idea how to do that? Well, just like I mentioned earlier, the term Peter used here is very interesting. Because if we're going to look at other translations or versions, it would go this way. And allow me to read some of it. From the NIV, it says, husbands, in the same way, be considerate as you live with your wives. From the New Living Translation, treat your wife with understanding as you live together. In the New Revised Standard Version, show consideration for your wives. In the Amplified Version, it says, live considerately with your wives with an intelligent recognition of the marriage relation. That's something, right? Live considerately with your wives with an intelligent recognition of the marriage relation. Now, in the King James Version, it says, dwell with them. The word dwell is to cohabit, right? to live under one roof or to dwell, not just literally, right? But dwell with them according to knowledge. Right? According to knowledge. Now, in its root form, it refers not only to an understanding, the phrase according to knowledge in the King James Version, because in its root form, it means an understanding with an intelligent recognition, as what the Amplified Version says, an understanding with an intelligent recognition of the nature of the message relation. Now, that is something that you understand with a recognition of the nature of the marriage relation between the husband and the wife. It means that the believing husband does not only direct his understanding to his wife, but directs his understanding to the kind of relationship that he has with his wife. The nature and what it pictures and what it represents. And so what is the nature of the marriage relation? And what do we mean by that? What does the marriage relation represent between the husband and the wife? Now, if we go to what the Apostle Paul wrote, particularly his instruction or reminder concerning marital relationship, I believe it would help us understand, and I believe we are very familiar with this passage. If we turn to Ephesians chapter 5, now Ephesians chapter 5, I believe, is a familiar passage we go to when we think about the relationship of the husband and the wife and what it pictures. No, verse 25 and 27. Husbands, love your wives. Just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for her, so that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, that he might present to himself the church in all her glory, having no spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she would be holy and blameless. Now, what do we see here? What do we see here? This is not just an instruction for husbands to love their wives, period. Right? It's not just an instruction, you know, husbands love your wives. But it expresses more than that. Right? It expresses more than that. Why? Because it shows us a picture of that same marital relationship, only deeper. And what is that? It is the relationship of Christ being the groom and the church as his bride. Is it not? That's what the Apostle Paul is saying. And so Paul's use of such marital relationship to exemplify Christ's love for the church, which is his bride, is expressed here. And how did Christ express his love for the church? It is by giving himself up, right, for the church. It is by giving his life for his own. That is the kind of love that Christ has for the church. And so, with that picture in mind, going back to our text in 1 Peter chapter 3, Peter used the phrase in an understanding way to refer to that kind of understanding. Understanding the nature of the marriage relationship between the husband and the wife. An understanding with an intelligent recognition of the nature of the marriage relation it communicates. What the marital relationship pictures, what that marital relationship expresses. And so it does not just refer to human marital relationship, but the kind of relationship that all believers have with Christ. And this ought to be the kind of perspective that every believing husband needs to have. An understanding of the kind of relationship Christ has to his bride, the church. The kind of love that is unconditional. The kind of love that is willing to give up self for the sake of the one he loves. And what makes us say that? Because that is exactly what Christ did for his bride, right? He gave himself up for the church. Galatians 2:20 also expresses the same thing. He gave himself up for me because of his great love for his bride. Now, what is the reason for Peter to say that? The believing husbands should have that kind of perspective, that kind of wise consideration. It says there, live with your wives in an understanding way, understanding the nature of the relationship as Christ has to his bride, the church. And then he says, live with your wives in an understanding way as with someone weaker, since she is a woman. And the reason here, because the woman is a weaker vessel. Now, Peter's reason for saying that is because of the status of the woman. Again, you know, bearing the nature of the marriage relationship, not just the earthly, but the nature of the marriage relationship, which pictures Christ's relationship to the church. Now, it doesn't emphasize that the woman is morally weak or that the wife is intellectually deficient than the husband. No, it doesn't, you know, say that way. Now, if the world hears this kind of statement, you know, they would automatically conclude that there is discrimination here, right? Because the woman is a weaker vessel. I mean, what? You know, that Peter is biased, that he is discriminating the capacity of the wife. No, that's not the direction Peter's argument is going. Peter is simply stating that the wife is weaker in the physical sense. Now, although the husband and the wife are implied as both vessels here, you know, of course, as part of, shall we use the term furniture or vessel, as part of the vessel of God's household, all of us being part of that household. But Peter refers the wife as a weaker vessel in the physical sense. And that's why the husband has to acknowledge this and recognize with loving consideration and understanding. Now, we're not going to into the argument that, you know, like what the world is doing, that, you know, the wife can also do what the husband is able to do, or, you know, even the argument that there are things that the wife can do that the husband cannot do, you know, sort of thing. No, so therefore the wife is stronger than the husband, sort of argument. No, I'm afraid that's not the argument here. It's not. It's not saying, you know, who is stronger than who. No. Peter is simply turning his attention to the believing husbands, how they ought to live with their wives, and not what the wife is capable of doing. Because the focus is that the husband is to be considerate to the wife. This is in no way degrading the wife in any manner. No, it's not. Because the instruction here is given to the husband. Now, the second truth that we see here, to answer the question, how does a believing husband live with his wife, whether she's a believer or not, is also there, you know, found in verse 7. It says, You husbands, in the same way, live with your wives in an understanding way as with someone weaker, since she is a woman, and show her honor. That's the second. It is to show her honor. Now, in the original, it means a value. A value, someone with value. By analogy, it means to esteem, especially of the highest degree. And so, with that meaning, to show her honor means to speak well of her, right? To speak well of her. As one commentator said, she is to be treated with special kindness and given delicate attention. Wow, that is really something there. She is to be treated with respect, not just by the husband, but that as a result of how the husband respects his wife, others would also respect her because of the respect that the others see as expressed by her husband. Now, I believe we pretty much understand what the Apostle Peter is saying here. How that the believing husband should not only provide for the needs of the wife, which is actually also part of the meaning in its original form, by showing her honor, it means two things. Actually, it is to be able to provide for the needs of the wife and to esteem her or to treat her with respect. And so the husband or believing husband should not only provide for the needs, but that the husband or that the believing husband should speak well of her to other people. To his or her friends or to their neighbors or acquaintances. And so the husband sees to it that he esteems his wife, indicating how valuable she is to him. And what is the reason? What is the reason? He says there, show her honor as a fellow heir of the grace of life. Not only should the believing husband show her honor because she is, you know, a weaker vessel, but also because she is a fellow heir of the grace of life. Now, there are two viewpoints regarding this phrase here. And I want us to look into this. As I mentioned earlier, that there is no clear indication that the wife here of the believing husband is a believer or not. Now, how about the phrase here in the text? You might ask, how about the phrase here? You know, the fellow heir of the grace of life. As I mentioned, there are two different points of view with regard to this phrase. One suggests that the wife is a believer, just like the husband. That's one point of view. Since the phrase talks about her, the wife, being a fellow heir of the grace of life. And so they interpret this as referring to the gift of eternal life. The grace of life. On the other hand, one also suggests that the wife, another point of view, is that the wife is not a believer. And the reason is because in the early verses of chapter 3, the wife is a believer while the husband is not, right? And so that's the context there. And so Peter is giving them instructions how they ought to live so that their unbelieving husbands might be saved. Therefore, this must be the part where the husband, given the instruction, is the believer while the wife is the non-believer. And the phrase heir of the grace of life does not actually refer to salvation. With that point of view, it actually refers to marriage, the grace of life. referring to marriage, as it is the most wonderful earthly relationship that God has ordained and designed. That's their point of view. All right, now, either way we see it, whether the wife is a believer or the wife is a non-believer, the focus was on the honoring of the wife. Right? The focus was to show the wife honor, whether the wife is a believer or a non-believer. That's the instruction there. Honor, give her honor, show her honor. So whether the wife is a believer or not, it should not matter. Because the instruction given to the believing husband is to give his wife the highest esteem he could possibly give. It does not depend on whether or not the wife is a believer, because the instruction again was given to the husband. The doer is the believing husband, while the recipient is the wife, whether she's a believer or not. Now, the purpose of such woman, this will give us a better, a bigger scope of understanding when we reach the last phrase of verse 7. Because the purpose of such command or instruction is stated on the last portion of our text in verse 7. It says, so that your prayers will not be hindered. And so the Apostle Peter mentioned here the reason or the purpose for such instruction. Why does the believing husband needs to live with his wife in an understanding manner? Why does he need to esteem his wife highly and express how valuable she is to him? Peter's reason, he said, so that your prayers will not be hindered. That's his reason. Now, we were looking earlier into two different points of view, right? Whether the wife is a believer or not. And as I mentioned, it does not matter. Why? Since the instruction was addressed to the believing husband, while his wife, whether a believer or not, is on the receiving end of it. And so the question is, where will we apply this last phrase? Will we apply this to the believing husband, whose wife is not yet saved? Or will we apply this to the believing husband, whose wife is also a believer? Now, either ways, they can be applied. Either ways. Now, if we were going to apply it to the believing husband whose wife is not yet saved, this would be of greater significance. Why? In the sense that if there is one desire for a believing husband concerning his wife, it is that his wife might be what? He might be saved. That's it. And so, if we're going to apply this instruction to him being a husband who already knows the Lord, and if he does not do this, if he does not heed to the instruction as expressed by Peter, then the opportunity for his wife to be a fellow heir of the grace of life, if he would mean it to be referring to salvation, then she would miss it, right? She would miss being a fellow heir if he would go to the route that the grace of life is referring to salvation. And so the prayer of the believing husband for the salvation of his wife is being hindered. Why? Simply because the husband is not showing his understanding of the true nature of the marriage relationship. Because he knows that this earthly relationship should reflect the marital relationship between a believer and Christ. And so if he lives disobediently to God's instruction or command through the Apostle Peter, then his prayers are being hindered. As a result, his wife will miss the opportunity of being a fellow heir of the grace of life. If you're going to the route of salvation. But how about if we apply it to the believing husband whose wife is also a believer? Now, this is also of great significance in the sense that if the believing husband does not treat his wife with respect and esteem her highly, nor regard her as of precious value, then you would expect that there would be strife and indifference and contention within the relationship. And how can God listen to such prayer, right? When both of them, already his children, cannot offer an acceptable prayer before him. Remember what Christ said in Matthew chapter 5, verse 23 and 24. If you are presenting your offering at the altar and there you remember that your brother has something against you, what does verse 24 say? Leave your offering there before the altar and go first be reconciled to your brother and then come and present your offering. Right? Matthew 5, 23 and 24. Simply means you can never expect the blessing of acceptable prayer if you haven't been reconciled with a brother or sister in Christ. And for that reason, your prayer is being hindered. And so again, either way we look at it, it can still be applied whether the wife is a believer or not. Now again, as I mentioned at the beginning of this study, although this particular text is addressing a believing husband and his relationship with his wife, whether she is a believer or not, yet the truths on this study can still be applied to all of us. And this is still what? This still calls for a consistent, godly living. This still calls for consistent, godly living. And so, you know, to wrap this up, if we were to ask ourselves, you know, how are we, brethren? Are our prayers hindered? Or we might be wondering why our prayers are hindered. I think I shared a song last time. There's also a song that I remember. What You Are Speaks So Loud. I don't know if you know that song, right? What You Are Speaks So Loud. The stanzas goes, if you have named the name of Jesus, if you're known as one of His, remember that the world is watching to see what your victory is. Walk worthy of your holy calling. Bring praise to His blessed name, lest He through you should be dishonored and your deeds should bring Him shame. The chorus, it says, what you are, speak so loud that the world can't hear what you say. They're looking at your walk, not listening to your talk. They're judging from your actions every day. Isn't it something? That the world is watching the believers every step to see and know if indeed we are living consistently to what we profess. Shall we pray? Oh, gracious Father, what a reminder and a timely reminder it is this morning. When we look at ourselves, yes, this truth is addressing to all the husbands, particularly the believing husbands. Father, at the same time, we are also reminded that when we apply these truths, Lord, to each of our lives, we know that it's not just applicable to believing husbands, but all of us. The call towards consistent, godly living is of grave importance, especially when we consider those who are not yet saved. We know for a fact that the world is not just listening to what we say, but looking at our lives. They are looking at our responses, but reactions, and how we do respond to events and circumstances. Oh, Father, may Lord help us, because in and of ourselves, Lord, we know that we can never do this. We have a lot of failures. We have a lot of mistakes. But Father, we ask that you will enable us through your grace. Help us to live consistently before you, so that others may come to know your Son because of the lives of your children. They may not read a Bible, but we are perhaps the only Bible that they ever read. We wanted, Father, to show who Christ really is, and may they see Christ in us. That's our prayer, Father. So may you help, Lord, your children throughout the remaining, or through this new week that we'll be facing. Pray that you will use us for a greater glory and honor, that Christ will be seen as we live consistently to what we profess. In your Son's name we pray, and ask all of these things with thanksgiving. Amen.